Let's not stop worshiping God. I know it's a youth-led service, but the focus isn't on the youth. It's about God. Let's give him the glory and honor he deserves right now. To start off my message here with thanking a couple people. Youth Pastor Phil for giving me the chance to, you can be seated if you'd like, for giving me the chance to speak tonight, and Brother Grant for letting me stand behind the pulpit. And I have a quick thing that I've always wanted to do, but I've never actually had the chance to do it. If you have a cell phone, can you turn it on real quick and just go like this, just so I can see all the cell phones? Come on, I know you have them, and I know they're on vibrate. Come on, real quick. I've always wanted to do this. Okay, now if you can reach over and just turn them off, that'd be excellent. That would be stellar. Okay. Did any of you have any nicknames when you were in school? They call you, like, sister. What was your nickname when you were in school? KK, and how did you get it? Don't know. Anybody else have a nickname and know how they got it? Go ahead. Hot dog what? And how did you get it? Football? Okay. So, okay, go ahead, Brother O'Neill. Georgie Porgy. Okay, so we can all kind of relate to when you have a nickname, there's kind of a meaning behind it. And did you live up to him once you got it? Like once you got, I know Dane, I think when he was in football, he had the name Baby Huey. And he was a very huge guy, and he lived up to it in smushing people. But, you know, when you have a nickname, you live up to it. In eighth grade, I had this small nickname. It didn't really go very far, but I played chess, and I beat a couple of people in, like, four chess games. And I had one friend that kept calling me Rook, and to this day, he still calls me Rook. And so I kind of had fun with that nickname. But I have a scripture I'd like to turn to. Genesis 25:25. You'll turn there, please. Be there, say amen. Okay, we'll wait just a little longer. Okay. Very good. Okay. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out and took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And for those who don't know, the name Jacob means supplanter, which being translated nowadays means liar, thief. And Jacob lived up to his name. He fit his mold. If you'll jump ahead real quick to verse 29-33. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint, meaning he was tired. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray, with that same red porridge, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." The birthright back then was the inheritance of the entire house. As soon as the father died, the firstborn, which was Esau, would get the entire inheritance of the house. And I lost my place. "Sell me this day your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. He cheated him out for a bowl of soup, for a bowl of chicken noodle soup. Guy was in the field, was really tired. You know, you've all been there. You've had a hard day. You're kind of sweaty. And you're like, "Oh my goodness, give me something to eat. There's something in my tummy." He probably didn't have breakfast that morning. And so Jacob's like, okay, give me your birthright. And he's like, "Fine, I don't care, as long as it'll keep me alive." So he cheated him out of his birthright. He gave him a bowl of soup for all the inheritance that his father had. He lived up to his name. Now, how could somebody cheat their own brother? I mean, I have a sister. I love my sister, but I would never actually cheat her out of something this big. Maybe something small, but... But how can you cheat someone when you have a heritage this big? Your grandfather, who is Abraham, had a direct promise from God that a country would follow him. His own dad, and it says in I don't have the scripture with me, but his own dad was able to talk with God, and his own dad had a personal relationship with God, and so did his father Abraham. I mean, his father and his grandfather walked very closely with God. Now, what happened to this guy? I mean, he popped out, and his name is Liar and Deceiver, and you know what? He lived up to his name. He's like, oh, well, I'm named it. Might as well. He was given a name and a mold to fit and developed a bad reputation. People back then were known by the names, and names were very, very important. When you were born, you were given a name, and it had a meaning. So anytime, you know, you go to the mall, hey, what's your name? Oh, my name's Jordan, which I believe means to flow down. And then I go, okay, what's your name? Oh, my name's Supplanter. Oh, hi, Liar. Hi, Thief. Hi, Deceiver. It's a bad tag that's stuck on you. Everywhere you go, you have that name. Oh, what's your name? Liar. Thief. But his name was changed by God to Israel, which means may God prevail. In Genesis 32, 28 to 32. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, no more liar, no more thief, but Israel. For it is as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So he had his name changed. And if you read down a little bit, real quick. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of Shinu, which shrank, which it is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew, and it shrank. Now, real quick, a couple points about this. If you'll read up a little bit in 24 through 27, it says, Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. That was the guy. So the guy is wrestling all night with this guy. He meets this guy, and obviously there was something different about him, because he was wrestling, saying, give me a blessing, give me a blessing. I'm not leaving until I get a blessing. It says he wrestled with him all night. And the guy is like, okay, this guy isn't going to give up. I need to stop him somehow. So it said he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he still keeps wrestling with him. Even though his leg is flopping off like this, he's still fighting with him. He says, I'm not leaving until you give me a blessing. And he said, let go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go until ye bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And that's how his name was changed. He wrestled, he fought with it. He fought with his blessing. You may have a name that you feel you have to live up to, but God has great plans for you and wants to change your name. But how did he do this? Number one, he didn't give up. He fought for it, and he wrestled with it all day and night. And he didn't give up until he got his blessing, until he got his name changed. Another thing that he did was he confronted his past. In Genesis 32, 3 through 5, it says, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom, and he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, which is his brother. Thy servant Jacob saith, thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and made manservants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight. He confronted his past. He cheated his brother. First of all, I forgot to mention this, but he also stole his blessing. He dressed up as his brother Esau, went into his father, and stole Esau's blessing. So Esau was left with nothing. He cheated his brother very badly, but in order, and this is before he had his name changed, he had to confront his past. He had to go and say, I'm sorry, I did wrong. In today's standards, he went down to the altar and pleaded with God and said, I'm sorry, I've done wrong, please forgive me, I'm seeking repentance. And he didn't quit. then he had to wrestle for his blessing. You know, your name change, your identity change may not come right away. You may have to stay down here a bit and fight for it. God says, how bad do you really want it? Do you want it so bad that you'll be in pain? Do you want it so bad that your hip will fall out of joint? Or that you'll stay up all night wrestling for it? Another person, Peter, his name was changed. His name was Simon, which means it is heard. And it was changed to Peter. In Matthew 4:18, you see that his name is Simon. You don't have to turn there. But a little background on Peter. It is known that he's a fisherman. And fishermen in the Bible were unlearned men, meaning they didn't have much schooling. They just fished. It doesn't take much schooling to throw a fishing rod. He was thought most likely to put his foot in his mouth before he spoke, which happened many times. He was very passionate, though. Though he made some mistakes, he was very passionate in John 18:26. Some guys are about to arrest Jesus, and he whopped the guy's ear off, which he wasn't supposed to do. He found out later because God healed the guy. He acted before he thought. In Matthew 14:28-29, he walked on water. He tried. He was passionate. He walked out, but he ended up failing and falling and needing God's help to get back up. But the most ironic thing that strikes me is in Matthew 26:69-74. And I have to turn there real quick. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now, if you read a little bit before, you know, he was just so passionate about protecting this guy that he whopped off the guy's ear. I don't think he was going for his ear. I think he went like this to separate his head from his body. But the guy went, ooh, and off came the ear. This guy was passionate. This guy was like, okay, I'm going to commit murder to protect my friend. And only a couple hours later, he's like, no, I don't know the guy. You know, just blatantly denied him. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, that thou were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I know not this man. So this is twice now. Two people come up to him and said, you know, weren't you with the guy in there? And he's like, no, I don't know him. I'm just, you know, here enjoying the fire. After a while, he came unto them and stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And then he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. He began to shoot profanity out of his mouth, to make oaths, promises. I don't know that guy. I'm serious. And he loses his temper. He loses his cool. He's acting before he thought. And immediately, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered what Jesus said before. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. So here's a guy who is not very smart, who acts before he thinks, who failed a couple times, who's whopping a guy's ear off and falling into the water, and then he denied Christ three times. You know, I kind of think that's, you know, a little on the no-no side. But something happened very interesting. About 50 days later, and I believe all you can quote the scripture, Acts 2:38. This is about 50 days after this, I believe. Then Peter said unto them, wait, wasn't this the guy who just, you know, kind of cursed God and swore and shooed profanities out of his mouth? 50 days is, you know, a little under 2 months. Little under 2 months about. So a little bit he's denying he knows Christ and swearing at him. And the next moment he's sharing the gospel. 2 months. 2 months this happened, and he was sharing the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the guy who cursed God. So he had an identity change. He had a name change. How did this happen? In Matthew 26:75. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said unto them, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He cried on his face, just like Jacob. He fought that angel, that guy, give me a blessing. Peter went out and wept bitterly and said, God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. God, please forgive me. If you've goofed in the past, God wants to give you a fresh start and a new name. Doesn't matter what you've done. Denying Christ three times, and 50 days later, he shares the gospel. There's another person I'd like to talk about. I'm not going to give their name right away. But they were very, very, very hyper. Very hyper. They drove people nuts sometimes, drove their babysitters nuts. Very naughty at times. Tags were placed on his life. He was told multiple times that he wouldn't go anywhere, that he couldn't be in ministry because he was too spastic and couldn't pay attention. But a while ago, God removed tags on his life. Gave him a new name. I'm that guy. And last year at senior camp, God removed tags on my life and gave me a calling. He gave me a calling to be a youth pastor. It was Thursday night, and I sat down with Jason Wilkie, who will be preaching Friday. And I talked with him, and I knew that that was what I was supposed to do. I didn't think I was going anywhere. People told me I couldn't be in ministry. But God removed tags on my life. That's my testimony. God removed tags of being hyper, not being able to pay attention, being naughty in class. God removed those tags because I was like, oh, this is what I am. Might as well live up to it. You know, I'm not going anywhere in life. Might as well live up to it. But last year, tags were taken off of my life. You know, God's helped me by removing those tags and helping me become what he wants me to be. I'm not there yet, but I am walking by faith. I know I have a long way to go to be what he wants me to be, but I know it's true. Another person who overcame their nickname was Jesus Christ. His parents weren't married when he was born in Matthew 1:18 and 19. You know, and back then that was a horrible, horrible, horrible sin, more than it is today, you know, to be born and not have your parents married. He had to deal with that wherever he went, to have that identity. Also, he was the son of a carpenter. You know, that's, you know, not much. He had identities to break and nicknames to break. He was constantly hit on every side from the devil. You know, the devil came to him personally in the wilderness and tempted him. Even Jesus himself had nicknames he had to overcome. He had his past to confront. But Jesus went and we all know the story. You know, he died on the cross. He fulfilled his mission. He overcame his nicknames. And the last thing I want to say is Gideon. Gideon, we all know God called him a great warrior in Judges 6:11-15. Called him a mighty man of valor. But little information about Gideon. He came from the tribe of Manasseh, I believe it was, which is the least of the least of the Israelites. The least, the very bottom. Very bottom. But his name was Gideon. Does anyone know what Gideon means? Nobody? Anybody over here know what Gideon means? No one knows what Gideon means. The name Gideon means great warrior. The name Gideon means great warrior, which means, you know, even when he was born, God said to Jeremiah, you know, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb, before you were even born. God knew what Gideon would do before he was even born. He had a name for him, and that's great warrior. He had an identity for him before he was even born. He's got a plan for you before you're even born. You may have strayed a little, you may have walked off a little and acquired different tags and different nicknames, but he's still got an identity for you. When God saves us, we bear his name. Like me, when I got saved, I became Jordan Powell Jesus Christ. We're new creatures with him with new identities. We carry on his name. And right about now, I'd like the musicians to come. If you want to bear his name, you're more than welcome to come down here to the altar. If you'd like to receive the Holy Ghost or to get baptized, just come down here. If you'd like, if you have problems in your life, come down the middle aisle. And if you'd like a healing, come down here. And if you're a person who wants to find God's name for you, I invite you, please come down here and seek. You know, Jacob sought all night. And if you're wondering where you stand, where your place is, please come down here and seek it. It's not going to come easy. He wrestled all night and had his hip dislocated. but he still fought for his new identity. He fought for his new name, Israel. Or maybe you strayed a little bit. You know what God has for you. You know God's plan for you. But maybe you strayed a little bit and acquired different nicknames. Come down here. He'll give you a fresh start just like he did Peter. I invite you all, please come. Even if you don't want to seek a name, please come and just worship him.
Stand. This area up front is open, as he said. Make your way, find a place to touch the throne of God.